And welcome back, everybody, to another edition of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 370. It's a Monday night. You're not seeing things. It's a Monday evening. We got you. And it's also not immediately after the trade deadline, but we're here to recap the trade news for you with the fantasy impact, of course, to get you ready for the upcoming week. You know, only seven games tonight, so half your rosters haven't even been set potentially. So you have something you can tweak along the lines there. And more importantly, we'll get the ball rolling for Thursday night's Fab Show, where a lot's about to change, as we'll hit on throughout the evening. But before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDIntrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How you doing, my friend?
What a day. It was just a wild deadline. I know both you and I, both with real jobs, we were scrambling around, and like every hour we'd check our phone and there'd be three or four different trades. So fun trade deadline. I feel like MLB doesn't get enough credit for how cool the trade deadline is every year. It's a freaking blast. Lot to break down. We're going to go at this. We're not going to talk kind of the real baseball, like winners and losers, that sort of thing. Should this team have sold, that sort of thing. We're going to pretty much strictly keep it to fantasy impact of all this. That's kind of the angle we're going to take. Since we did wait a little bit till after the deadline, we're starting to get more news and kind of the fallout of all this. So hopefully that will help. But I don't know. Good to be recording on a Monday. If there's any East Coasters in the chat, I know we're going a little earlier than normal. If you're not normally following, hit us up in the chat and say hi. I'd like to hear from you all during the show.
Yeah, we're usually late on the East Coast for you all when we record. So come join the fun. We'll try to get some questions throughout the show and at the end of the show if we have time. But let's just rock and roll, Ryan. Let's get after it. And we're just going to go in basically chronological order starting from today till through like last Friday. So all the major moves. So there's no rhyme or reason. We're not starting out with the clickbaits out the top. We're just going with the latest information. And one of the big ones that dropped on Monday, Ryan, the Red Sox got their catcher. Adley Rutschman was traded to the Boston Red Sox with Jake Rogers and cash for a bunch of prospects, plus Carlos Narvaez and a couple other players. But Adley Rutschman is the name we care about along the line here. So what's your thoughts here? You're still on the IL, which is a big what's going on here. But yeah. And right out the gate, Scott in the chat, Cashman couldn't get a catcher. That is a popular – Ben Titt is not happy about that.
Ben's having a good night tonight.
But what's your thoughts on Rutschman to Boston? Because they need a catcher, but he's not even playing yet.
Right. Probably a good outlook for Rutschman's health, of course. I don't think the Red Sox would pull this trigger if they thought there were any kind of lingering or even midterm health issues with Abby. It's kind of funny. Like, this is one of the headliner trades. But for fantasy, there's actually not really much of an impact, right? Because like when Adley comes back, you're starting Adley. All the guys that went over to the Orioles are prospects that I don't think are redraft relevant for this year. So I don't know. It's kind of, yes, it's one of the headliners, but like, I don't think there's really much actionable in terms of like, in terms of fantasy. I mean, I guess, yeah, long-term, like Basayo, right? You clear out that logjam for the Yos, and Basayo, when he comes back, you know, you've got that job. So, I mean, it made sense, but that's mostly about it.
Yeah, right now, like Jake Rogers will catch in Boston. I'm reading a quote from Craig Breslow that says, they're going to get Rutschman into Boston to meet with the medical staff. From there, they'll figure out what the future looks like in terms of like when he's coming back, potential contract extensions and whatnot. So I'd imagine he's back in the next week or two. To your point about why would you make the trade otherwise, but time will see on that one. And Sammy Basayo, he's expected back in about another week, and he's now, it's definitely his show in Boston, which was, like you said, a big problem of ours in the preseason. So you got that going for you with the catching position. So as we should do on every show, start out with the catcher situation.
Of course.
All right, next trade we got here, Philadelphia Phillies. The Giants are involved a lot today, folks, so just bear with me on this. Philadelphia Phillies, they acquired Luis Urias. This is the one that hurts the most. Well, one of the ones. And Caleb Killian, that one doesn't hurt me at all, for a couple prospects. One of them was like the number four ranked prospect in the Phillies system, which is great. But Luis Urias heads to Philadelphia, which he will be a much they'll be very appreciative of him leading off. They said Bryson Stott's expected to go to third base, Baum to first, and looks like Harper to the outfield. So a lot of moving pieces there, Ryan.
I think that's the biggest fallout of all this, is all the position moves, and not only for this year, right? In most leagues, like in NFBC, it's 10 games to get eligibility. But like if Harper stays in the outfield for 20 games, he's outfield eligible next year. Same with like Bryson Stott going over to third. And well, I don't know how much we care about Alec Bohm getting first base. Is he already first base? I don't even know.
Maybe probably on Yahoo.
So yeah, that's probably the biggest on the Philly side is you're getting additional eligibility, which is kind of nice. The Giants side, like, do you even who is their second baseman? And should Ryan, we care? I guess is
Ryan, the we don't really question. Need to talk about the Giants on this show.
Hey, it's fantasy fallout, Bubba. I'm not trying to shade. We are trying to.
No, I knew this day. I knew this
information
was
possible. Yeah.
I knew this was coming. It's just rough. But like right now, it's going to be interesting if it's going to be Osvaldas Basabe, who had a couple home runs over the weekend, had a big weekend in San Diego, plays in third base with that whole situation. Christian Koss has been playing third with Chapman out. So Basabe at the moment looks like the winner in this deal. They picked him up from Tampa Bay in a trade a year or two ago. And he's only 20, going to be 26 soon. He's still 25. Basabe is probably the biggest winner. Is that fantasy relevant? Maybe if he keeps swinging it this well, but it's one of those we haven't seen it happen yet. So you asked for it. Now you got it. That's the guy. They did call up Nate Furman, who led off on Monday. He's a big OBP guy in AAA, but I wouldn't get overly excited about that one just yet.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it was interesting to see N Furman leading off for the Giants today. Did not know who that was. Basabe, yeah, it doesn't look too attractive to me. A lot of bat on ball, 12 steals in AAA this year, but a 4% barrel rate, 5 homers, 311 plate appearances. That's going to be a dead spot.
Yeah, I think the Giants are just trying to piece things together for now until the season's over. Like right now they're benched as more people are coming up, but it's Drew Cowan, another backup catcher, Nate Furman, Buddy Kennedy. Like
there we go.
It's bad. It's really, really bad. So yeah, we'll see how things continue to. It'd be nice if they called up some of their like Park Harbor and some of those guys, like call them up and see what they got. But maybe that'll happen later this week.
You'll get to see some new guys in the rotation, which we'll get to. That'll be
we
nice.
Will. That'll be very nice. All right, Padres. We're still talking Giants here. Padres, they shipped Robbie Ray and his tight pants to San Diego. The crazy part is he probably had to fly back to San Francisco last night just to fly back to San Diego today instead of like just enjoying a day off at La Jolla or something. But Robbie Ray goes to the Padres for some more minor league action. Really great move for the Padres. The Padres were way more aggressive than I expected today, which we'll get to as we recap stuff. But fantasy-wise, Robbie Ray has been outstanding of late, and that shouldn't change anything.
And that should not change. I think the biggest fantasy impact of this one is now the open rotation spot for the Giants. And as of recording, Blake Tidwell is supposed to start on Tuesday. Is that correct?
Tuesday or Wednesday, Vitolo said. He hasn't specified which day yet. I'm imagining it's Tuesday because he said Adrian Houser could pitch the other day until they iron more things out is what it comes down to. Okay. But the reason why, and this is where I'm going to start hopping around on you here, Ryan.
Sure.
Is yesterday, the Giants traded Tyler Mahle to the Braves for a reliever. So to the point where we were going with that is the Giants now have three rotation spots with Wisenhunt, Roop, and Webb. So Blake Tidwell is a guy that I've mentioned on the Fab Show a couple times, Ryan, like very excited about coming up. Dude is super talented, and he's actually having a great season at AAA and the PCL. So I'm excited about Tidwell. He's up right now. Tristan Beck's up, Carson Seymour came up, and Adrian Houser. So there's like a window where outside of Tidwell, like Seymour could get some run here. I'd hate to see it be Houser with these young kids, but maybe they do it. But that's the way I see it playing out, and I'll be very excited for Blake Tidwell.
Yeah, you were excited for Tidwell in the Discord today. Shout out the Discord today, by the way. Yep. Holy hell, that was fun. It was going nonstop. There were debates which channel we put in. I don't know if you're team news or team trade deadline, but I'm always team show questions, but we had that. But yeah, Discord was a ton of fun today.
Yes, but so that's the way I see the pitching landscape. Did you want to hit on Tyler Mahle real quick before we
What's your take on Tidwell? Like, do you like him to kind of anchor this since we just had Wisenhunt go in Fab, what, two Sundays ago? how would you rate Tidwell compared to Wisenhunt? I guess is if we're trying to kind of give some context for Fab.
Well, I like him much more than Wisenhunt. Command, okay. They all have command issues, but as a whole, Tidwell's been much better at it than Wisenhunt is. Still gets a ton of swing and miss. Can limit the damage with the best of them. That's I'd be excited to see what he can do with a couple months in the bigs.
Yeah. I think already probably one of the bigger starting pitcher Fab options this coming week, Blake Tidwell.
At least from the dust settling from the trade deadline. Like, anything on Molly, or is it just a kind of lateral move with Atlanta for you?
Yeah, not really.
All right, back to today's scheduled action. Toronto Blue Jays. A couple teams made some moves that surprised people, but then you look at the players they acquired, they get to have control of for a few years, so it made more sense to them. And the Jays are like basically sellers, but they picked up Jose Soriano early on Monday morning, to the surprise of many. A couple of nice prospects came their way. Some Jays fans are not too thrilled about, but Soriano's got a couple of years of control. The Jays will take care of that. Doesn't do much for fantasy for me, though. It's still just he's the dude. I guess it's more like what happens with the Jays rotation as a whole for now.
Yeah. I mean, who does Soriano boot?
Right now, he's the fifth starter.
Who was
because the fifth it, starter? It's all Taillon. You have Taillon.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Like Taillon, Scherzer, Bieber actually threw well on Monday.
Yeah.
I think it'll be Taillon more than anything. That's who, yeah. Even though Taillon's scheduled, I think, pitch on Wednesday or Thursday in Chicago. Against Gossman, because that's Gossman.
Against Gossman, that's right. That's the double reverse game with Gossman. Defensively, how's the Blue Jays? Because Soriano's, that's whenever a big ground ball guy gets traded, I always look at kind of the infield defense. See, Toronto compared to Toronto's got the fourth best overall defense on Fangraphs, and compared to the Angels, I'm sure we're one of the worst. So on paper, a defensive upgrade for Jose Soriano. They might not score any runs for the guy and he won't get any wins, but I do like to see how the defense affects we're seeing that with Peterson with the Cubs right now, having elite infield defense, especially for these ground ball guys. So keep an eye on that one too.
We need to get one of the prop markets to put it out there. More wins for Soriano or home runs for Vlad by the end of the season?
It's tough. I don't know.
It's tighter than I think people want to admit right now. All right. Detroit Tigers on Monday, they sent the workbench, Gage Workman. Oh, that's not as important here, though. They sent Casey Mize to San Diego. So Casey Mize joins Robbie Ray in San Diego, which very last-minute trade and a very – again, these Padres, they're surprising me. Like, I know they're in it, but they went for it right now, and it rounds out a rotation because we kind of joked about it recently, how bad that rotation is. And now it's Michael King, Herman Marquez, Walker Buehler, still not great, but they added Robbie Ray and Casey Mize, which is a tremendous upgrade to J.P. Sears and Griffin's Canning.
Yes, absolutely. And those are the losers. Canning was actually been semi-serviceable lately, but loses some time there. The Tigers, one of the biggest things for me is the Tigers side, like in terms of streaming against rotations, Tigers rotation is beleaguered, we'll just say. I'm surprised they didn't trade any of their bullpen pieces. Maybe they tried and every team was like, haha, that's very funny. But targeting lineups against Detroit rotation the rest of the way, they are officially mailing it in, obviously with Mize and Skubal gone.
Yeah, they got Framber, Kyler Montero, and Troy Melton. Ty Madden's making a spot start this week. He could stick, and that could be kind of interesting for streaming and fantasy. And then Jackson Jobe's expected back next week. He has one more rehab start, then Jackson Jobe will be back. So I'm not saying these are world beaters, but if you're on the fantasy landscape and you want to try to find lightning in a bottle in a streaming matchup, if it's the proper matchup, it could be interesting watching those guys get a shot at this point in time.
Or potentially River Ryan as well. Once the hamstring gets better. Yeah,
yep.
Once he's back, that could be he could go right into the rotation and actually be like that's actually attractive to me.
Let's just skip to that. Tarik Skubal. Was obviously traded to, like, if you're listening to this show and you must be living under a rock if you didn't know this one, was traded to the Dodgers. There's not a whole lot to talk about there. Well, we can talk about the rotation fall in a minute. But yeah, to your point, River Ryan was one of the prospects sent back, was Zaire Hope and Brady Smith. And Zaire Hope got sent to Double A, which is kind of interesting to see take place after he's been in Triple A for the Dodgers. But yeah, River Ryan, that's a good call. Just so shout, good shout on that too. It's a hamstring injury, not an arm injury, so maybe we see him back sooner than later.
Good name for a river too.
Sure. What's your thoughts on the Dodgers rotation, I guess, while we're here? Because Emmett Sheehan got sent to AAA, deservedly so. Eric Lauer's in the rotation for now, but Blake Snell's back next week, so Lauer's going to be gone. So it looks like they're going to go five-man right now, which I kind of thought they would, because they want Scoobal to throw as much as humanly possible. So it's a nice-looking rotation, of course.
I was a little surprised at the Sheehan demotion. I thought they'd go six just to space everyone out, or Lauer would be the odd man out. But like you said, he will be. Did you start Lauer this week at the Cubs?
I cut him.
Oh, you dropped him yesterday?
Yeah, he was a drop for me.
Of course,
you cut him. I'll miss one Lauer start, I guess. Shucks.
Yeah, that's fine. It's against the Cubs too. I mean, that could be tough. So I don't know. I mean, Wroblewski got lit up today. I don't know. The Dodgers, I mean, you've been on this crusade for a while. Ironclad bulletproof as many. Do not hand them the World Series just because they got Tarek Skubal, folks.
Like, I get it. If you can go Yamamoto, Skubal, and, like, Snell 6 games out of 7, yeah, that's great. But if just one of them scuffles or whatever, their offense isn't very good, and their backup pitchers have struggled a ton, and health is not on their side. So, yes, they're a hell of a ball club. Not going to deny that, but they're not just going to walk in there and take it. Like, they haven't swept the series like for the World Series or LCS in a while. So they got to earn it too, just like everybody else. That's the beauty of baseball.
We do have a question from Pat in the chat. Love how that flows. And this is another kind of trade we can knock off, but Chris Bubich, Pat asks, is Chris Bubich going to pitch out of the bullpen? And that would be my, you know, once That's he's, of course, guess. Once he's back, that would be my assumption as well, which could be a pretty damn nice weapon for them.
And I think that's what they need with these pitchers coming back. That way they can limit the innings. They don't like extend them too much.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they picked up Bubich from the Royals for a prospect. That was a trade that took place today, as Ryan was saying, but like their bullpen just gets stronger from this. That's I guess the beauty of it is, because you can even put Lauer in the bullpen or Roki. Like, there's ways you can work around it, of course, but they still got to hit the darn baseball, and they have not done that consistently right now.
Correct.
Teoscar has, though.
Maybe that. What a comeback.
Yeah,
I'd love to see that.
Must be a blue chew gold, but he's doing it. New York Yankees, another giant here. Elliot Ramos gets traded to the New York Yankees. He should be the starting left fielder every single day, platoon or not. It should not matter, and he's a great opposite field hitter. He's going to love that ballpark. Like, Elliot should do just fine. What this does for me, Ryan, though, is it questions things. I think Jason Dominguez might be done. It's either him or Spencer Jones. Jones is at least playing better than Dominguez at this point in time. I'm not saying it's a long-term solution, but one of them is either going to the bench or AAA.
Yes, and my guess would be Dominguez, just because I've always kind of held this. I know Dominguez has been playing regularly lately in right field. That's almost out of necessity, but the Yankees have been pretty anti-Dominguez throughout his career thus far. And with Ramos in the fold, I think they want to see what they have with Spencer Jones, or it could just be like a platoon between those two guys. I good point on the Elliot Ramos. It's not really actionable, but I think that park's going to be awesome with him opposite field. So I was hoping Elliot Ramos would be heading my way to the Mariners, but oh well, that's okay.
And when it comes to the Giants outfield, which shouldn't matter, but obviously Jung-Hoo Lee is going to be out there. It just gives more of a chance for like Grant McRae's, Jude Gilbert's to hang around. Barrichotto should be back soon. Harrison Bader is going to be on the unemployment line shortly. Jonah Cox is rehabbing. So again, a lot of names that no one cares about. All right. The D-backs, they made a splash, kind of. Lars Nupar has got traded. It was weird because they showed clips of like Alec Burleson giving hugs, like he was the one to get traded, and like an hour later, it was Lars Nupar that got dealt to the Arizona. And Burleson hits 3 home runs tonight.
And then Burleson hits 3 homers. Yeah.
He went full Burleson on them. But the D-backs, they trade for Lars Nupar, which it's not bad because you got Corbin Carroll in the outfield, you got Ryan Waldschmidt in the outfield, but this kind of gives them more stability in the right field position because they were kind of mix and matching for a while there with Kepler. And like, is he really the solution? Probably not. So I think Nubar is a decent upgrade for them without paying a premium.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it changes much. If you had Nubar, you're not super excited to have him. I don't think this move really does anything on that regard. The thing that I'm watching with this move, yes, right, is are we on Joshua Baez watch in St. Louis? Hopefully. Right, opens up, moving Nubar out, opens up an outfield spot in St. Louis. Are they going to do it? If so, Joshua Baez will be a major fab target. He'll go for a bunch of money this coming weekend. Major swing and miss issues, but major power speed juice. Joshua Baez, I took in the last round of the Gladiator of the All-Star break, rooting for it. But that could be by far the biggest fantasy impact of this one, if it happens.
Yep, there's a good chance. It should. I don't know why it wouldn't, but a big if, because we got to see
I mean, the only thing is they hold him back for rookie eligibility next year. But if that's even a rule with the new CBA in 27, yeah. I don't think anybody even knows. So
we'll be pretty crappy if it isn't. That's for sure. Yeah. All right. Joe Adell heads to Cleveland. The Guardians made a couple moves to stay in the thick of things. Adell should be the primary right fielder for the Guardians. Not sure it changes a ton in his fantasy value. But more so, like, Angel Martinez might now be relegated to the bench would be something I'd keep an eye on with Martinez. He was already struggling since coming off the IL. So that's kind of my biggest takeaway on the Cleveland side of things.
Agreed. And just the fact that, I mean, we mentioned this on the last Thursday show, but they're getting healthy now, right? J-Ram's back. Kwan's hitting. DeLauder's been pretty damn good lately. Like, this is suddenly they acquired Nathaniel Lowe today. The Guardians did. So I guess we could probably knock that one off too, but this went from a total stream against lineup to a lineup that now has a hot Kwan, a better DeLauder, a healthy J-Ram, and now a Nathaniel Lowe and Joe Adell. Like, again, not like a crazy good offense, but not one to stream against anymore. For Adell himself, I don't think, you know, it's probably an upgrade just being around a better team. I'm scared to even pull up the Angels depth chart to see who would play. Adell's wake.
It's gonna be great. It just basically opens up more time for either Wade Meckler or Josh Lowe to play for now.
There we go. That's
pretty much what it comes down to. Because like Jose Siri's still out there, but he's just facing lefties. There's nothing there. Like if they want to go down into AAA, they have Christian Moore. They did that outfield experience once. You could try that again. You could try the Kyren Paris I talked about, but he's been a shortstop. Like Bryce Teodosio, we've seen that mess. That hasn't been anything too excited. Their minor league system sucks. Like they added some pieces we'll talk about in some of these trades, but nothing really for the outfield.
Dustin in the chat, the Python Hunter says, Kyle Manzardo's gone, addition by subtraction.
Where I was going next. Nathaniel Lowe, you mentioned, was traded to Cleveland. So David Fry and Manzardo were sent to AAA. So the whole idea of streaming Manzardo, which has actually worked more often than not power-wise, he's gone to AAA now because they'd rather have the veteran Lowe up there, and it's great. That ballpark's really good for lefty power, so that is a plus. But, Manzardo, you can move on from Nathaniel Lowe. I was kind of out on him in the fantasy anyways, but it doesn't do much for me right now.
Yeah.
To kind of piggyback on that, though, if you want to look at Cincinnati, obviously you had you already had Sal Stewart playing first base, but A. Eugenio at DH, maybe it gives more playing time to Ke'Bryan Hayes at third base. Not something we should be too excited about, but
that's what we all need in our lives.
But that's kind of the thing I see standing out the most.
I agree. I think that is probably the playing time winner, if you want to, you know, put winner in ultimate quotation marks. But yes, Ke'Bryan Hayes probably plays more.
And something to keep an eye on, reports from today, like after the trade, the Reds are expected to call up Hector Rodriguez, 22-year-old prospect that's got 27 homers and 6 steals at AAA this year, 19 homers and 15 steals between AA and AAA last year. He's an outfielder, though, but maybe he DHs, and then the Ke'Bryan Hayes thing is done. That's why I want to bring that up.
That could make sense.
All right, back to our regularly scheduled program. Taylor Ward was traded to your Seattle Mariners, and yeah, I'll let you run with this one.
Yeah, not what I was expecting. I was expecting the Mariners to add an outfield bat. That was a position of need. Taylor Ward. I don't know. He's completely, I don't even want to say reinvented himself. That has a positive connotation. The guy gets on base. Taylor Ward, even though he's not hitting for power, he's been very good OBP-wise. So I get it in terms of a real baseball trade for the Mariners. I'm surprised they didn't do more. I guess we could talk about Luis Castillo in the rotation, that sort of thing. But for now, for Taylor Ward, like, yeah, going from Baltimore to Seattle from the park standpoint is a downgrade, but like Taylor Ward wasn't doing anything anyway, so you can't really downgrade from nothing. So I know that's a ringing endorsement for Taylor Ward. He's gonna play. I just don't think much changes there.
I didn't realize he was almost 33 years old, which is pretty wild to me. But yeah, it gets Victor Robles out of the way, that's for sure. I guess I'll talk about the Baltimore side of it though. Does that just what's that do for them? Is it lock in maybe more playing time for Tyler O'Neill? Because like Leody Taveras, Dylan Beavers are already playing a ton. Colton Cowser was not hitting versus lefties. I don't know if that changes at all, but I guess that something's going to open up playing time wise for the O's.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Tyler O'Neill, while he can stay upright, I wonder if the O's will, and I think they should, like, why not play Dylan Beavers all the time? Why are we platooning? He's 20. He just turned 25. Like, let's get him some reps against lefties. And fantasy wise, that could be, because Dylan Beavers has been, you know, decent lately and leading off against righties. Wouldn't be surprised if Beavers gets a longer look against lefties, which could just mean more playing time for him.
And the O's didn't play on Monday, so for all we know, they could call up a minor leaguer. Like, I don't know if Esson Kierstad's even alive still, but there's a few minor leaguers. Reese Hines could come back.
So. Oh, that's what I was going to say. They just acquired Reese Hines for. Yeah. I think I deleted that off the rundown because I don't think it's relevant. But here we are talking about it. Reese Hines could be up. Who knows?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They could, like, they brought CES back, so why not get a blast from the past? You mentioned him, so we'll talk about it real quick. Luis Castillo was traded to the Chicago White Sox for Sir Anthony Dominguez, Nolan Jones, and Boston Smith. With big Luis Castillo out of town, I don't think it does a whole lot for his value going to Chicago. Maybe it hurts it more because it's not a pitcher's ballpark. But you hit on Luis Castillo if you want. More importantly, what are your thoughts on that Seattle rotation that it's at least down to five men?
It's at least down to five. I'm a little surprised they didn't go one more step. This may age, but the front office has been quoted tonight as saying Cade Anderson is in their plans for this season. So Cade Anderson is very likely to be called up at some point this year. But what does that look like? Is it a six man? Does Cade Anderson go 3-4 innings? We don't know that. I'm a little surprised the Mariners only traded one starter. I'm surprised they were actually able to find a suitor for Luis Castillo. I don't know if Sir Anthony Dominguez is addition by subtraction or not. Nolan Jones is from a bygone era, and I don't really know who Boston Smith is. So I don't know. It's nice to kind of clear Luis Castillo out of there so we get a full five, and maybe that's the biggest impact of this, is your Mariners starters are no longer part of that crazy-ass piggyback thing.
Yep, that seems to be a thing of the past for now. All right, Chicago Cubs, they were active on Monday. They got two pieces from the New York Mets. Clay Holmes, who's expected to make his first start on Sunday for the Cubs, and Tyrone Taylor joins the outfield, which means Kevin Alcantara, who was called up and went deep, is probably going back to AAA on Tuesday because that's how things work for Kevin Alcantara. But they needed a body for game day because Tyrone Taylor would not be there yet. But Taylor seems like he's just going to go back to playing the kind of, you know, platoon role, maybe with Ian Happ, who's struggling a ton. So that could check out. And then you got Clay Holmes, which makes this rotation quite interesting.
It does. I was secretly rooting for Tyrone Taylor to not get traded and just kind of play out the string with the Mets and get playing time. I think Tyrone Taylor's good. I have an odd obsession with Tyrone Taylor, but won't play very often. It's going to be the same short side platoon role with the Cubs. Cubs rotation, I guess when we could probably talk Gausman here as well, but are we getting the facade out of our lives? Are we getting Colin Ray out of our lives?
So one of those right now, like on RotoWire, they got Assad, and after the start on Wednesday, Peterson out of the rotation. I think Peterson sticks and Ray goes. So
agreed.
I think we're gonna see Boyd, Shota, Peterson, Gausman, and Ray by the end of next week. I mean, not Ray, Holmes by the end of next Holmes. Week.
Yeah. I think that's the move too. Peterson's pitched quite well.
Really well. Like, you can't take him out right now.
Yeah. So, yeah, Cubs made some moves. You like that? You like that?
Yes, you like that a lot. So that means I will hit on Kevin Gausman was traded from the Jays for a couple of minor leaguers. Not too much to get excited about there, I guess, but we can look at the because Gausman's going to be just fine. And we kind of already hit on the Jays rotation. Did you have anything else you want to add on that? Because it looks like it's going to be Soriano, Yesavage, Bieber. You got Scherzer, Cease. They picked up Taillon, who we haven't talked about. We don't really need to. It's for a player to be named later, essentially. Taillon is going to get a start, but I don't know for how many more starts after that.
Right. Agreed. No, we don't need to go any further on the Jays rotation.
All right. I do want to stick in Cubby land, though, real quick. The Cubs picked up Braxton Garrett from the Marlins for a couple prospects. I'm very intrigued by this just for the fact that, like, the Marlins just hate Braxton Garrett for some reason. And right now the Cubs have no room open for Garrett, but it feels like they've been willing to give young pitchers a chance. So at least I'm a little more inclined to be excited about this. We still need to find a spot, obviously. Like, there was a spot in Miami and it never happened, but just wanted to highlight the Marlins aren't our problem anymore.
Yeah, and I guess we should have mentioned Garrett when we were talking about the why Garrett, why Colin Ray over Garrett? Like, I guess Ray would be out, so who the hell knows, man?
Well, that's Braxton what I'm saying. We gotta move it around still.
Yeah, it's just interesting. Like, Braxton Garrett goes from, you know, on the surface, you're like, oh, hell yeah, Braxton Garrett's gonna start now. He's out from, you know, prison, basically, and with the Marlins, and he now goes to a team with 8 starting pitchers. So that's lovely. It doesn't seem like Braxton Garrett, at least imminently, is up. So we wait even longer.
And then the other thing I want to highlight with the Cubs, I just saw it here a second ago. Oh, they went and picked up, where the heck did it go? Sorry. Give me a second. Pieces of paper. They got Ryan Zephyrjohn. There it is. They got Ryan Zephyrjohn from the Angels. We'll stick there. Then I'll mention who the Angels got, because that's enticing as well. But Zephyrjohn heads to the bullpen after just, you know, getting his 4th save or whatever with the Angels, almost passing Romano for the saves lead. Romano still has that going for him. But Zephyrjohn isn't going to close, I don't think, in Chicago with Webb and then Palencia coming back shortly. Or I guess what happens in Anaheim, because Kirby Yates also got traded. So it's a just plethora of what the heck in Anaheim.
This is an absolute cluster. I mean, today was a cluster. So, yes, Zephyrjohn can be dropped. I mean, maybe he's part of a committee until Palencia comes back, but that's pretty soon from the latest that we have heard. In terms of the Angels, right, with Zephyrjohn back or Zephyrjohn gone and Yates gone, granted they don't have a rotation. They somehow held on to Reed Detmers. They should have traded Urania. Jesus, send him down.
He's too valuable.
I don't know, man. Sam Bachman's probably, like, if you want to call someone the guy. I don't think there's any talent there, and I don't think
Dustin just nailed it. Ben Joyce should be back maybe by the end of this week.
Okay. That could be it.
That should be the guy that gets, like, not saying he's the answer to everything, but if anyone's going to get a shot, it better be him.
Let's hope he can stay healthy for more than 2 weeks and the Angels win a game in that 2 weeks. But that's probably a good call. Yeah, Ben Joyce. Yeah. I still don't even know, like, I don't know. How much would I bid on Ben Joyce? I'm not sure.
Yeah, because it comes down to, like, we've seen what two guys have 4 saves and, like, one guy has 3. That's 11 saves on the season. That's not really an overwhelming endorsement of what's going on. But on the flip side, interesting, because we saw the Angels already traded Logan Ohapi. They got Travis d'Arnaud there. But in return for Ryan Zephyrjohn, they got this relief pitcher, right-handed pitcher Mason McGuire. They also got Moises Ballesteros coming over. And like, I know he had a great run for a while there, and then he just hit the skids with the AAA. Really wasn't doing a whole lot there. When I saw his name come through there, like, it, two things. He's either really struggling at AAA, they gave up on him, or they realized that we got no room at the end for the catcher, so we got to, like, move him for something. And the Angels could use a catcher like that. So Ballesteros, like, as a team that's going nowhere, how do you not have him up tomorrow playing every single day for you?
Right, because he's currently being quote unquote blocked by Tyler Heineman and Travis d'Arnaud. Exactly. Like, we don't, for a team that's just playing out the string. So I agree. Moises Ballesteros is somewhat relevant again. Like, he just needs reps. He needs reps on a team that doesn't, you know, need him to produce in high pressure spots. Only 8 games caught for Moises Ballesteros so far this season with the Cubs, 47 DH games. So I would certainly, yes, be in favor of the Angels calling Ballesteros up, throwing him back at catcher, and just get some reps these last, you know, these last 7 weeks.
Speaking of catchers, the Tampa Bay Rays got Liam Hicks from the Miami Marlins. The Rays are very, very active these days. I like the move for Tampa Bay for a few years. Like, they were going with, you know, Nick Fortis and some other options there at catcher. That's not what you want full time if you're trying to make something happen. So you throw Liam Hicks into the mix. You got rid of a couple prospects. We'll talk about some of the other acquisitions that they made, but this really strengthens their offense, which is already always a pesky offense to begin with, but a heck of a move here, I think, for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, you like the move. I like the move for the Marlins too. Like, you're kind of sell. You got to be selling. You got to think of this as a sell high for Liam Hicks. Like,
oh, 1,000%. Yeah.
I don't know. It was a hell of a start to the season for Liam Hicks. He's slowed down. I get why the Rays made the move for sure. I'm more interested on the Marlins side. Is there any chance that it's goose time?
I don't know. Just for the fact that Joe Mack's going to keep playing every day. Do you call goose up to sit? Like, they have, but they have two, they have like 5 outfielders / DH options. So unless he's going to play first base, but Stowers, there's no reformer to play is the problem. Like, he should have been in a trade like Moises Ballesteros was.
Or they should have traded Jacob Marcy so my guy, Esteri Ruiz, could get some more playing time. But yeah, I agree. I don't, it's Joe Mack. At first you want to get excited for the return of the goose, but it sounds like a bad movie, The Return of the Goose.
Yeah.
Some of my kids would watch or something.
That's that college movie. Yeah.
Or that. I don't think we're going to see that return, though.
No, we're not going to. It'd be cool if we did, but I wouldn't get too excited about it until they figure out a way to play him more often. This one, this hit home. It's, as you put the Discord, it's now Foster the Guardians. Foster Griffin traded to the Cleveland Guardians for a slew of prospects. This is a great move, I think, for both sides, because Washington gets to keep building their farm system, which they've keep doing every year at the trade deadline. It's working, folks. So that's a big, big one there. But on the national, or on the Guardian side of things, we've kind of talked about the rotation being pretty good. Like, Messick's really good. Gavin Williams been awesome. Cantillo's been getting better again. Bybee, but Ciccone's been struggling. This gives them a fourth option that I wouldn't mind throwing out there in a playoff game.
Agreed. Foster the Guardian's been awesome. Do we think the Guardians go 6-man?
I think Ciccone goes.
Yeah.
That's my deal. Maybe they go 6-man to kind of, but I don't think they want to. I'm looking at right now RotoWire has Ciccone. Like, they got Ciccone throwing on Wednesday, but then Griffin throws Friday, and then Ciccone's out of it after that. So that would make sense, my guess.
Yeah. And if you're still rostering Slade Ciccone, A, I feel bad for you, but.
Well, thank the Guardians. They just helped you.
Yeah, exactly. The Guardians have assisted you with that. On the flip side of this one, the Nats, you get a open rotation spot, and Andrew Alvarez got called up today. A lot of venting in the Discord about this one, but for a team that would not let Andrew Alvarez pitch like more than 4 innings for an extended period of time, let him go into the 7th today, and
it was 81 pitches, though. I looked it up when someone said that, so just remember, it was efficient to get there.
Third time through,
awesome. Like, I'm happy about it.
Yeah, but Andrew Alvarez, I think, is I would take him over Ciccone. Like, if you have Ciccone, you drop Ciccone and pick up Alvarez. I'm sure Alvarez is pretty widely available. I think he's going to be in that rotation going forward because they don't have anybody else.
The one person they might screw us with, Trevor Williams, came back from the IL. He threw 63 pitches out of the bullpen on Friday. Trevor Williams. Would you be surprised?
I would not be surprised.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it should be Andrew Alvarez. I pretty sure it's Andrew Alvarez, but I'm saying don't be surprised if for some reason you wake up tomorrow and Andrew Alvarez has been sent back to AAA. So, like, we've seen this many times.
And they could have Connelly Early back at some point.
He threw a bullpen, I believe, Sunday. He might throw one more and then start a rehab assignment. They're shooting for end of August, beginning of September.
I think they'll be very careful with Connelly Early.
Maybe him and Alvarez piggyback or something like that. Or him and Williams. But let's hope Alvarez sticks around. I'm with you on that one. I'm just saying we've seen these guys do dumber things. So Pittsburgh Pirates, they have a new closer. It's not Camilo Duvall. We don't have to talk about that now. Thank goodness. We can just pretend that never happened. Camilo Duvall is a Pirate. He got traded over the weekend. But on Monday, the Pittsburgh Pirates, they acquired Luke Weaver from the New York Mets. And immediately on Monday evening, Gregory Soto came out of the bullpen to pitch part of the sixth and the seventh. Mason Montgomery got the save, though. So keep that in mind. It might not be a full Luke Weaver thing, or Luke Weaver might not have been there, to be totally honest. But it feels like the changing of the guard will be taking place, and Luke Weaver should be getting a majority of the reps in the back of that bullpen.
You would think so. I mean, let's wait and see. But Pittsburgh has been pretty set in their ways in terms of roles so far this season. And if it is indeed Luke Weaver, like, this could be it's a good team, and Luke Weaver's it's a good enough team that they're going to generate enough save ops. And Luke Weaver's just been an absolute animal. So an early congrats to those who stashed Luke Weaver. Flipping over to the Mets side of this.
Real quick, I just want to say, so for tonight's game, Bubba Chandler went 5 2/3. Soto went 8 1/3. Duvall went 1 inning. Montgomery got the save for 1 inning. Soto, Duvall, Montgomery, 3 1/3 innings, 2 hits, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts, no runs scored. Now you throw Weaver into that mix. This Pirates team's getting interesting. That's all I'm going to say. Like, that's a good back end of the bullpen right there.
And I would imagine, yes, Weaver, I mean, this trade was today, right? So yeah,
exactly. He wasn't available, so yes.
Yeah. He was in transit, presumably.
Yeah, but sorry. Okay. What were you saying? Devin
Williams stays as the Mets closer. I mean, that's the noteworthy part of this. So you can keep biting your fingernails every time Devin Williams shows up.
All right, the Brewers made a couple of moves here. I'll pocket them together here. Antonio Sensatella got traded from the Rockies for a couple prospects. Who cares about the unless you want to dig in on the Rockies, you can. But Sensatella is going to be bullpen depth for the Brew Crew. They also acquired Dustin May and Jojo Romero. Romero, more bullpen depth. Dustin May to the rotation from the Cardinals for two more prospects. That's the one that hits closer to home with the Brewers, because my boy Robert Gasser's out of the rotation now, and Shane Drohan is going to be out of the rotation, as you're going to have Mizorowski, Sproat, Henderson, Dustin May, and then Kyle Harrison returns this week. The fact Sproat's keeping Drohan or Gasser out is kind of messed up, but that's a whole other conversation. But Dustin May pretty much puts the nail in the coffin for Gasser for sure.
Do you know, like, have they come out and said that, or is that just kind of the prevailing wisdom?
That's the speculation, just for the fact that Sproat pitched today. That's when Sproat could still get bounced. It was his day to throw, but you look at the RotoWire and FanGraphs and all, like, the rotation projections, they got Gasser and Drohan out of the rotation after this week.
Yeah, I mean, I could see the Brewers trying to get creative with those two extra arms, right? They basically have 7 starters now. Do some creative things to limit the Miz's innings, right, the rest of the way.
They need to look limit all their innings. That's the thing.
Well, yeah, pretty much all of them. But, like, I mean, the Brewers are going to make the playoffs.
Yes.
99.7% chance to get in per FanGraphs. But they need to keep their starting pitchers fresh for the playoffs. And I think, I don't know if it's 6-man, piggyback, whatever, probably to the detriment for fantasy, whatever they try and do to kind of limit these guys' innings. Cause I agree. It's not just Miz. You're right. It's Logan Henderson, who's had injury issues. It's Kyle Harrison, who's just coming off the IL. Dustin May's in semi uncharted, Dustin May himself is in semi uncharted territory from a workload standpoint. So, I'd actually be surprised if the Brewers stick with just a traditional 5-man rotation. I wonder if they will do some things to alleviate that.
I think they should. That's for sure. So we'll have to wait and see. Even Sproat maybe gets a piggyback, because he really has struggled a lot. I'm surprised if they do go to just a 5-man. If he stays in the 5-man, I'd be very surprised by that. Yeah. All right. anything else on like St. Louis side on their rotation? Does that do anything for you?
I just watched some of Michael McGreevy try and get five innings for a win today. That didn't work.
Yep.
It's a bad rotation. I don't know.
But it locks in Quinn Matthews, like we talked about on the Fab show. So
it does lock in Quinn Matthews. Yes, it does.
With one T. All right, Houston Astros. They acquired Dalton Varsho from the from the Blue Jays for Spencer Arrighetti. I like this one. A team that needed to get more pitching got rid of pitching in the Astros, but they got Dalton Varsho. And this is one thing I wrote about three or four times this year, that they need to get rid of part of their outfield conundrum, because like Lamont Wade and company should not be doing it. Dalton Varsho is already starting in center field on Monday, which was a big plus
against the Blue Jays.
Yep. They still have Cam Smith. They still got Taylor Trammell out there, which is, you know, still not ideal, but having Dalton Varsho out there is an improvement for them.
It very much is, and it's probably an improvement for Dalton Varsho's fantasy value himself, just for going to a better lineup. Varsho hit cleanup on Monday. So anytime you're behind Jeremy Peña and Yordan Alvarez, and then you're between like Isak Paredes and Christian Walker, like that's certainly an upgrade from where he came from. I just like this trade from, yeah, the two teams are playing each other, but also it's just a kind of a one-for-one challenge trade, hitter for pitcher.
Yeah, I just like it, though, because it opens the door for Arrighetti if he gets healthy. Like, why not pitch him in Toronto? It's one of those random trades. Like, okay, I could see this actually working for both sides, which is good to see. One that hopefully works for both sides, the Giants sent Eric Miller after he was picked up by a lot of leagues to close in fantasy. Eric Miller goes to Boston, and I don't blame the Giants for doing this at all. And they get Marcelo Mayer in return, and I'm kind of intrigued by this, because it's like buying low on a former, like, higher end prospect. Maybe he's just garbage, who knows? But you're selling a reliever at his peak. Like, I'm cool trying this one out. This is one of the ones I actually like. Buster, this, you did good. You did good on this.
Yeah. Agreed. And maybe it's just something with the Red Sox development system. Like, Marcelo Mayer is not the only touted prospect the last few years to not make it. Perhaps a change of scenery could do Marcelo Mayer quite well. I'm just going to vent Eric Miller, man. Freaking first time I fabbed this guy earlier in the season, he went on the IL the following day. And then I picked him up a bunch of spots yesterday and, you know, probably should have known he was a decent candidate to get traded, but is now worthless. So
it's great. Yeah, that was a tough one. Ben and I talked about him on the Fab show, and I don't blame anybody. He was on my waterfalls behind Cruz this week, and if he ever got injured the first time, he'd probably be the closer locked in for the Giants. He probably would have like 12 saves, right? Like, he was the best reliever in that bullpen. So the moves makes a ton of sense. It's just, you know 12 hours later, it stings tremendously. The Twins, this is where things are going to get interesting. They picked up Jeff Hoffman from the Toronto Blue Jays for some prospects. And Yoendris Gomez has been very good. Scuffle in his last outing, that happens. Jeff Hoffman's actually been very good as well over the last few months. This could get interesting in the back of that bullpen, Ryan. I think Hoffman might be worth a speculative ad this upcoming week for sure.
He is. I mean, we have a full week of games, so let's see. Yeah. He is, just because Jeff Hoffman, I still think, is a good pitcher. And you get that good of a pitcher with even a chance at the closer role or even a split. Yeah, you have to be interested in that. I still think, this is my hunch. My hunch often leads me wrong, but Yoendris Gomez, you know, he didn't pitch well on Sunday, but he's pitched really well in that role. Like, if you're the Twins, do you want to mess with that? I'm not sure. I feel like the path of least resistance is just to throw Hoffman in the eighth, right, where he's been pitching most of this season, just enroll with that. But yeah, even the chance that Hoffman is the guy in Minnesota, you have to be interested. 75 strikeouts, like 48 innings this year. Hoffman's been really good.
Yep, agreed. That's why I like Gomez, not as much as you, because you were on him first, but I like him a lot, and I think he's been very, very good. But when you're a team in contention making a move like this, this just kind of screams like, don't screw up, because this guy's right here to take it over. For like, this could be a shared thing, like you said. So I wouldn't be surprised if they both help you along the way. All right. The Chicago White Sox made another deal. They got Britton Doyle from the Colorado Rockies. Doyle returned on Friday from the IL, played Friday and Saturday, picked up a hit in both games, sat on Sunday, but now he is off to the White Sox. Jordan Beck was recalled from AAA by the Rockies on Monday, which is very enticing for us Jordan Beck fans out there, see if we can do it this time around. But when you're talking White Sox, Ryan, this sucks for Doyle because I think he's going to platoon with Tristan Peters in center field now.
Right, and you leave Coors. I mean, that was half the appeal with Brenton Doyle, is to kind of stream him when you could get the Rockies at home. So, like, I made this comment in the Discord, like, yes, it is awesome to see the White Sox making moves for once. I don't know if this moves the needle for me really at all for Brenton Doyle. And agreed, like, from a fantasy standpoint for Doyle himself, I don't know if there's enough regular playing time to make him relevant.
Jordan Beck got the call, like I said, but it looks like he's just going to platoon for now. Because that was the problem earlier. The playing time wasn't there. Like, McCarthy's still there. Moniak just got an extension.
Right.
Cole Carrick deserves to play. Like, Beck just seems kind of like a filler for this for right now.
Okay. So I wanted the Rockies to do more here. We were talking about Zach Veen, Charlie Condon. Like, the Rockies didn't really move enough.
The Rockies rockied this.
You will get Cole Carrig, who played shortstop on Saturday. Am I seeing that?
Yeah, he played shortstop because when Doyle came back, they wanted to keep Carrig in the lineup. Cole Carrig played shortstop in AAA a lot.
Okay. But yeah, they did not make enough moves. The Rockies, I thought Moniak would get moved instead. Like you said, he just got an extension. So maybe chill on the Charlie Condon, Zach. Because even if those guys get called up.
Yeah. Where do they play? It's the constant Rockies problem. It never ends with them.
Adam in the chat says O'Doyle no longer rules. O'Doyle hasn't ruled for couple of years.
O'Doyle's going to rule on the south side, though, man. That's going to be some fun over there, getting some of those.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. The Chicago Beefs, or whatever they're called. That'd be good stuff. Speaking of the Rockies, they traded Victor Vodnik to the Marlins. So bullpen help, I guess. But Connor Norby comes back to Colorado. Norby's been pretty garbage since he's been called up. I'm not too worried about it. Kyle Karras is playing way too good to have Norby bother him.
I'm Googling Chicago Beefs.
It's a sandwich. It's their it's almost like a Philly cheesesteak, but their version of it. So
yeah, I did not know that. I've been to Chicago many times, but
yeah, I just offended so many people saying it's their version of that, but that was the easiest way to describe it, I think.
That's okay. Don't go after us too hard, Chicago folks.
Hey, look at me. I would love a Chicago beef with some extra peppers. Yeah, be good.
Go for one right now. Jeez. Yeah. Victor Vodnik to the Marlins, dead. Whatever. Connor Norby, I want Connor Norby to be a thing, but
it's not with Kyle Karras swinging on the keys.
No, Kyle Karras is, I think, very safe.
Yeah. Some minor moves. Brooks Raley went to the Phillies bullpen. That's just a helper. Blue Jays got Josh Smith. Could he be the utility guy that gets you fantasy excitement? Not for me. So
no.
I'm seeing you shake your head, so I'll move on from that one. Next on the docket here, though, the White Sox got Joey Bart. That doesn't do it for me either, unless you're, like, really desperate for catching.
Nope.
Okay, good. Eli White, the Rays, though. We'll go to this one. The Orioles traded Tyler Wells to the Tampa Bay Rays. I dropped Tyler Wells this last week in almost every league I had him in for Cruz. Looks like a blessing in disguise now. But I also dropped Kittredge in a league, so that sucks. But Tyler Wells at Tampa, obviously Baker's the dude, so you don't have to worry about that. I guess it's more so, do you believe Kittredge is the dude now by himself in Baltimore?
I would think so.
They gave Yiner Cano a 2-year extension, so I'm curious if they want to use him more or not. That's just my only curiosity.
Yeah. Oh, we're getting roasted for this Chicago beef thing.
I've watched the Bear. That's where I learned it from. I learned it from that. And then a lot of the Chicago Barstool guys, they had like a beef bracket of like the best places to go in Chicago. So I started looking stuff up one day online, and yeah, it'd be a heck of a weekend to go to Wrigley and then hit up a couple of those joints.
Would it surprise you? I haven't watched the Bear.
Not at all. I didn't even ask, Ryan. I already knew the answer to that. It's on Hulu. You probably don't know what Hulu is. Like, I get it.
I do know. Yes, I do.
Well, because it comes to the Disney bundle. Is that why?
Yes. Yes, Chef. It does.
There you go. You got it. Well done.
See,
I
get the reference, I guess.
Well, yeah. If you're going to watch The Bear, though, do it completely sober because you're already on edge watching that show. Like, it is freaking wild. And I couldn't imagine doing it any other way. It's intense. All right, some more intense moves. The Tampa Bay Rays, we talked about them getting Tyler Wells. They also acquired Freddy Peralta from the New York Mets for a slew of prospects. Freddy Peralta is actually starting Tuesday in Coors Field. Welcome to the bigs, Freddy.
Oh.
And his next starts at Sacramento. if you really want to get fun with it. We're breaking down his schedule on with Ben. It's an interesting road for Freddy Peralta, but he has one of the most favorable schedules over the next 3 weeks as well. So keep that in mind. But what's your thoughts on Freddy? It's been horrible. I've pretty much had him benched for a long time, and he's benched again this week.
Yeah, I think you have to bench Freddy until further notice, until we kind of see. I will be very interested in see what the Rays see in Freddy Peralta, right? They're a smarter organization than us two idiots sitting here behind a podcast microphone. Mm-hmm. Just looking for any and all tweaks to the arsenal that the Rays see that I would want to see Freddy Peralta implement in his next couple of starts, because I don't want to put blind faith in the Rays just being able to fix everybody, but they've been pretty good at it recently. So I think this has to be viewed as a positive for Freddy Peralta. Is he now a must start? I think we got to wait and see there.
Definitely a wait and see on that one. Next up, welcome to the Bronx, Luis Garcia Jr. Big home run on Monday night. Too bad the Burleson just buried that one on him. But Luis Garcia gets traded to the Yankees from the Nationals for four relievers. I saw some people say the Nationals just built their bullpen for the future. Like, they're apparently pretty decent relievers. And then Luis Garcia is going to join the Yanks, play first base, like basically platoon with Goldie while Rice plays DH is what it sounds like.
Right. Which is fine. I mean, this doesn't really change much for me with Luis Garcia. You're playing him before kind of no matter what. Well, sometimes if you're me, but you are now playing Luis Garcia no matter what.
Yeah, you learned your lesson. I'll give you credit. You learned your lesson. Now you haven't turned back on that.
I missed like half of Luis Garcia's epic June because he was facing too many lefties. So there we go. But yeah, nothing really changed. I think by far the biggest impact of this trade is on the Nats side.
Abimelech, yes.
Hit second on Monday, was called up, and I believe hit a homer, right?
Yes, he did. He went deep
on Monday.
Yep.
So anybody in that, it's still a good lineup, right? Even though Luis Garcia Jr. is out, you still got James Wood, though I guess.
Maybe not. He's getting an MRI right now. So, yeah, that could get interesting.
But you still got – it's still a good lineup. And if Abby Ortiz is going to hit second in the Nationals lineup, assuming, again, James Wood is good to go or whatever, but, like, that's very intriguing to me, Abby Ortiz filling in for – Luis Garcia Jr. in Washington.
Yeah, remember when Ortiz got called up a couple weeks ago? Everyone was all excited. He went 1-for-2 with a double and got sent back to AAA after the game. So just a fill-in. But at AAA this year, in 85 games, 244, 18 homers, 25 doubles. Like, the dude, he's got a ton of power, which is great. An 845 OPS at AAA with striking less than 20%, which is a big plus as well. So, yeah, I'm with you. If he gets consistent run, like, he's – one of the bigger players of interest for me this week. I've heard people in the Discord asking about first base help. Like, that could be a dude if he's going to play, like you said, on the strong side there. And so that's a good call on that one for sure.
Mr. Grouch in the chat, after berating me really for the Bear, says Andres Chaparro playing time. So just Chaparro, though, he got hit in the head the other day, which is pretty tough. Tough to see, but I kind of see that being a platoon. I think Abby Ortiz is going to play, and I think Abby Ortiz will be on the correct side of that platoon.
Abby Ortiz should play, yes. I fully agree there. They have kind of mixed and matched. Like, it's been weird, like the Brady Houses, the Jose Tena, Chaparro. They've really had a weird rotation going with that over the last like week or so. Yeah. So that's something to monitor with Luis Garcia out of town, that's for sure. Yep. Pat Monahan says the Yankees need a platoon first baseman to sign, despite having Ben Rice, I guess. Traded four potential bullpen arms. Yeah, it makes sense. Yanks don't need any bullpen arms. No, that's what I've heard a bunch of people said, because, yeah, he's pretty good. All right, a couple more here. Like, White Sox got Huesker Brazoban. Good for real-life baseball. Not a whole lot for us here in the fantasy world. The Braves, they got Lane Thomas a couple nights ago. I think it was Friday night? No, it was Saturday night. Lane Thomas and Bailey Falter. Bailey Falter's been working out of the bullpen. I mean, he's been working out of the rotation. He's working as a starter in AAA. Braves need starters. Just throwing it out there. But more importantly, it's Lane Thomas. And the news that came out on Monday, Ryan, I'll let you have the floor here. They didn't specifically say what Lane Thomas's playing time is, but the way I read through the tea leaves is they said Jim Jarvis is going to stay the primary shortstop. Jorge Mateo got DFA'd. Mauricio Dubon is going to play nearly every day as a super utility, which to me tells me Lane Thomas is the primary left fielder for now in Atlanta. And I drop Lane Thomas everywhere, so that's a bummer.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, Dubon started tonight in left field for Thomas, though. Thomas, yeah, he might have been available. He might have been available. I don't know. But I don't know. That's the key, is Jim Jarvis staying at shortstop. Like, yeah, you can say Dubon's going to be super utility, but like that path of least resistance is left field. And I don't know. My initial read is that Lane Thomas is his short side platoon, but let's see. We get a week of lineups. If Lane Thomas is the primary left fielder, I mean, that's attractive. He's been hitting it pretty well. Gets a lineup upgrade from KC to Atlanta.
Yep, that would be a bummer, but it would be great for everyone else. I already mentioned Camilo Duvall heading to Pittsburgh. Doesn't do a whole lot now with Weaver in town. Brewers got Bo Naylor and Cody Hewer. They're in AAA for Craig Rojo and Blake Perkins. That doesn't do a whole lot for me unless it does for you. And last but not least, the Twins acquired the Dean Kramer. He's supposed to get the start, I believe, on Tuesday after getting absolutely annihilated in his last start. So any thoughts on the Dean in Minnesota? Because it sent Zebby Matthews packing to AAA.
Right. And like, I don't know, man. I probably like Zebby more than most. I don't know why. I've been burned by him more than most. Is Zebby any better or worse than the Dean? The Dean has just been absolutely torched lately. Yeah. So I don't know. Whatever.
Wasn't too intrigued by that move either. So any final thoughts on the trade deadline before we get to some questions? It was a wildly active day, and we kept off some of the other minor bullpen moves that took place, but very, very active trade deadline.
Very fun trade deadline. Just a lot of moves. Like nothing crazy. Obviously, Skubal is the headliner and Adley to a lesser extent. Like nothing crazy, but just a lot of moves that like I think there's more fantasy impact with the headliner moves. Typically, there's not much fantasy impact. Like
it's like Tarek Skubal, Tarek Skubal. Doesn't matter where it goes.
Right. So hopefully this kind of fantasy centric rundown helps folks. We still get 4 or 5 days of lineups and information before Fab making decisions there, but it's going to be pretty busy Fab week depending on how everything goes this week.
Yeah, like Thursday night we should have a lot more news for you on the Fab show. Yeah, some listener questions in the chat here. Mailman Mike says, players the trade deadline helped and hurt.
Players, I'd say Abby Ortiz is one of my favorite gainers, again, coming from kind of nothing but to a regular job. And obviously Luke Weaver, probably your biggest gainer on the pitching side, assuming he inserts himself or he is inserted into the closer role in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, those are two big ones for sure. Hurt, maybe Braxton Garrett.
Look at this visual of Bubba just holding up panoramic.
And it hurt Brenton Doyle and Ryan Zephyrjohn a lot. Took him out of a starting gig in Coors and a closing job in Anaheim.
There you go.
Jim Poppin wants to know, how quick can the Bloom boards adjust to players on new teams?
Daily, every night. It'll adjust tomorrow, Jim.
Dustin Anderson says, tired of waiting for Canton Dog. So I'll ask, hey, Bubba, with his recent DFA is...
I love
these guys. All right, let me compose myself. With his recent DFA, is Chen Zhang Al Zhuang a drop in my 18 team AL only dynasty league? If it makes any difference, it's a 6x6 league with stuff plus the added. Yes, he's a drop. Jesus Christ. They know I don't read the questions before the show either. That's the best part.
It's the best part. I was really hoping. Really, the sole purpose of me being
I'm
on
like
the show
Ron
tonight.
Burgundy. I just read the prompter when it's my turn to read.
You went in hard at the beginning. I was like, hell yeah, he doesn't know what this question's about.
The second I saw Chin, I'm like, oh, mother. I think it was either Dustin or Canton that said, I can't wait till the next show when Bubba has to say his name in a question. Oh, you guys are great. This is why I love the Discord. You guys are awesome. Jesus. All right. Richard Sands says,
more landmines in here, man. Don't.
There probably are. Richard Sands says, in non-NFC daily leagues, are there any players you are rushing out to grab? It's like daily leagues, you can go grab them right now.
Yeah, I actually have already grabbed... Well, I hate to sound like a broken record, but I've already grabbed Luke Weaver. it's kind of the same question, right, as the biggest gainers.
Yeah. Like, if I listen to the show, there's guys we thought already made a massive impact. Go get them type thing. And then the rest we'll know for you once we kind of get better feels for the way things are going. Ben Ted says, can Ryan please say something bad about Ben Rice?
Sure, I can say something bad about pretty much everybody. Ben Rice, in an absolute tailspin over his last 15 games, league average WRC plus, no power, and ISO of like of under 200. K rate is way up, 36% K rate for Ben Rice over the last 15 games. And OBP, just not getting on base, 238 OBP for Ben Rice last 15 games. So, Ben Tidd, you are welcome. Ben Rice, heater incoming.
Yep. Adam Brunson says, what are the Brewers doing? Some high upside prospects shipped out. Can Gasser stay in the rotation? No. Gasser and either Drohan or Sproat are going to be gone.
Yep.
Unfortunately. Like, I'm a big Gasser fan, so that one stings. I put him on my bench in a lot of leagues today. And then Dustin Anderson, let me read this. Okay, we're good. says, looks like looks like Montgomery is going to be coming out to close committee with Weaver, or does Weaver get the full? Yeah, Weaver wasn't there, so it could be a committee, but I think Weaver's the primary, if that makes sense.
That would be my guess, but we will see. We got four more days to figure it out. Because there is something to be said for having Weaver just stay in his same role, like similar to the Jeff Hoffman thing, but.
Because what I could see it being is you just have Weaver and you have Montgomery both being leveraged. Just depends whether righties or lefties coming up. That's just what I could see it being. And that just gives them a weapon. Because that's how the postseason works for the most part. A lot of teams use their closers in different ways. So, yeah, wouldn't surprise me one bit. All right, Ryan, we will wrap it up there. We'll be back Thursday night for your Week 21 Fab preview. But, man, what a doozy. What a doozy. And Mr. Chang, apology for your DFA. That's an absolute shame for you right there. But until next time, check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BDN Chick. This was Bubba the Bloom, episode 370. Catch y'all next time.